Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
We are going back to our spiritual warfare series. We will end this series, ironically, on spiritual warfare on Halloween Sunday next week. I've got the end of this series is the best. I don't know if we'll get anywhere near there today, but we will finish it next week. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. When the unclean spirit has gone out of the man, so it was in the man, and now it has gone out of the man. It walketh through dry places, seeking rest, findeth none. He said, I will return to my house from which I came out of. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than him. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. Turn to your neighbor. Actually, turn to two neighbors because I need to take a drink of this medicine ball so I don't sound like I've been smoking cigarettes all of my life. Turn to two neighbors and tell them, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Thank you for that. You may be seated. To catch everybody up real quick, it's amazing what that medicine ball will do. That and Jesus gets me through these Sundays. There's a war that wages 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. I love that word as because it changes the whole complexity of the rest of that verse. He's not a roaring lion. There's only one lion in the Bible. That is the lion from the tribe of Judah. That is Jesus Christ himself. Goes about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Says, be sober, be clear-headed. Don't clutter your life. Don't clutter your spirit. Don't clutter your head. Said, be vigilant. Vigilant means to watch, to stay awake, to stay alert, to be meticulous. I didn't think that word meticulous was going to go over like it did, but many people in the last 2 weeks have told me, Pastor, that word meticulous has just been bouncing around in my spirit, my brain, and I'm taking inventory, and I'm clearing some things out, and I'm getting meticulous, making sure everything in my life is where it should be, how it should be. Things that are not of God are evicted out of my life. To be meticulous, to stay ready. We just declared to two or three people, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Spiritual warfare must have two parties that are in contention for the same thing. Realize this, that every day of your life, while you were sleeping last night, there was a war going on. God the Father was on one arm and he's pulling. He said, no, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. She's a daughter of Zion. He's a son, a man of faith. You can't have him. On the other end is the enemy that is fighting you because you have taken his place, Ezekiel tells us. That he was the worshiper, but when he was evicted out of heaven, God created us to now be worshipers. And so the devil is doing his best in a tug of war with God. God trying to move us to eternal life, an abundant life. The enemy's trying to drag us back so that he can steal, kill, and destroy. 1 Corinthians says that, don't you know your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That starts meaning something when we get a little further into this. If your body is a temple, that means that there's a God that resides somewhere in there. It's a big G God or a little G God, but at some point in your life, you got to realize there is a God inside of me. But what God is it? It says you were bought with a price. Why does God fight for us? Because he made the greatest investment that he could make, his only son's blood. You were bought with a price. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what your stepmom used to tell you. Doesn't matter what your boss used to tell you. Doesn't matter what your haters or enemy tells you when they say that you are worthless, that you have no value. Can I tell you what kind of value you have? You have so much value that when you were separated from God, God said, I want them so bad that I'm going to make sure that my son is wrapped in humanity, goes to earth, and takes their place. I'm going to spill his blood. And remember, it wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Jews that killed Jesus. It was the Father that sacrificed his only son to gain many sons and many daughters. We were bought with a price. We ended last session talking about what spiritual warfare is not. Spiritual warfare is not a flat tire. It's not a caffeine headache. It's not a crossword from somebody that came at you on social media. Spiritual warfare is not a bad day at work. Spiritual warfare is not bad things that happen because of a lack of preparation on your part. So if you don't prepare throughout the week and the devil shows up, the Bible says give the devil no place. So that means if the devil has a place, he was given a place. Because you got to look at the opposite of what God is saying. He says, give the devil no place. When Paul writes that scripture, he is writing it, why? Because believers were giving him a place. When Paul writes that, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, he's writing to believers in a church in Ephesus. He's not writing to non-believers. He's not writing to atheists and straight-up heathens and godless people. He is writing to believers that for some reason, for some issue, they've given space to the adversary to work. And so he declares, give the devil no place. Give the devil no place. Turn to your neighbor and tell him no place. A lack of preparation in your spirit is a place. If you don't stay prayed up, that's a place. If you don't come to church with regularity, that's a place. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They go to a church where at the end of praise and worship, the screen comes down and a preacher in another city preaches to them. I said, I couldn't go to that church. And it got real quiet at the table that I was sitting at. I said, not only could I go to that church, why do you go to that church? You could do the same thing at that church that you're doing at that church at home in your comfy clothes with a Pop-Tart and a Hot Pocket. You come to church, why? So you don't give the devil place. I tithe so that the enemy doesn't have place in my money. I pray so that the enemy doesn't have a place in my spirit. I pray in tongues to build up my faith so that fear does not have a place to reside. I am working my tail off every day to make sure he doesn't have a place there. He doesn't have a place there. He doesn't have a place there. He doesn't have a place here. He doesn't have a place there. He doesn't have a place here. Everywhere I am, I want to make sure there's no place for him to be. Remember, you don't have to cast out what you don't allow in. You don't have to pray away something that you didn't allow to get one word out of their mouth before you said, in the name of Jesus, you have to go. It's as easy as that. It's authority. Remember, healing takes faith. That's why a lot of time sometimes passes because we're getting our faith right. Authority does not take faith. Deliverance does not take faith. Deliverance takes authority. When you know Jesus, you're operating in authority in the name of Jesus. See, when we say that name, because, yes, of a foundation of faith and because we know Jesus, but when you say the name of Jesus, every demonic spirit that is looking at you should look away. When you say the name of Jesus, every cold little finger of every little demon in hell that has tried to snatch your kids back, snatch your money back, stir up strife in your family and in your marriage, make you depressed, make you suicidal, when you say, in the name of Jesus, it should do something to them where they don't want to be anywhere near you. I met a guy a few months ago that didn't know that I was best friends or really good friends with another guy. Within 45 seconds of meeting this guy, he starts bashing my friend. To which my response was celebrating my friend. When I began to celebrate my friend, he realized he's in relationship with the person that I'm attacking. And you should have seen the look on his face when I started celebrating my friend. He couldn't find a hole to crawl into. He couldn't stop talking to me enough. He started stuttering and stammering until about 30 seconds later, he was praising the same friend that he was bashing. Can I tell you, if that can work with a guy about a friend of mine, what happens when the enemy comes against you and you start talking about Jesus? You start talking about the goodness. You start talking about the promise. You invoke that name. And let me tell you something, he will find a hole to crawl into. He didn't know you had it like that. He didn't know you knew him like that. But when we start declaring the name of Jesus, when we start praising the name of Jesus, it changes things. Not a lack of preparation. That's not a spiritual attack. Bad things. Spiritual warfare is not bad things that happen because of decisions you choose to make. I tell my kids this all the time. You hang out with losers, you lose. You hang out with lowlifes, you lower your life. You hang out with faithless people, you have less faith. Don't be surprised when you hang out with serpents and get bit. Don't be surprised when you lay down with dogs and get fleas. That ain't a spiritual attack. You invited that enemy in. You invited that spirit. He didn't have to find someplace. You gave him a place and said, hey, come on. I want you to wreck my life. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Pastor, can we get marital counseling? We've been married 8 months, and it's falling apart. We're under attack. No, you're not under attack. You didn't bother getting premarital counseling. You didn't bother asking my opinion. I don't know everything, but I know she's been married 3 times in the 8 years I've known her. I've known that he's never worked a day in his life. I've known that he had a drug addiction. You say, well, you shouldn't tell someone's business. No, if it's going to mess up your life, I'm going to tell somebody's business because I want to make sure that you stay in the place God wants you to be. I might not break it down and give you all of the tea, but I'm going to say, buyer beware. You better watch yourself. You better check yourself and allow the Holy Ghost to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Why? Because you are giving a place. And don't be crying to counselors and elders and deacons and teachers that this is happening and this is happening when you open the door to it all. I end every day of my awake time before I pray. Prayer is the last thing I do. So what does that end of the day prayer look like, sound like? It's a lot of the same things. God, thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for your blessing. If there's anything that I know that I did wrong that day, I put it at the cross. God, I messed up today. I fleshed out today. God, I need you to forgive me. I am just a man, and I shouldn't have acted like that, but I did. But God, I thank you for your grace. And then I say, God, if there's anything that I did that I don't even know I did, God, Lord, I know that's under the blood too. But before I do that, I go to every door in my house, and I make sure it's locked. I make sure my alarm's set because I don't want anything coming in my house, listen to this, at my most vulnerable state. I can't beat up everybody, and I can't whip everybody, but know this, you come in my house, I'm going to be grabbing lamps, fire pokers. Man, he's going to be shooting you with a 357. But why is it that we are so concerned with our house and not our heart? Some of you, since you've been sitting here, your Ring camera has let you know your Amazon package has been delivered. Some of you might have even got a ring notification. The Amazon package that was just delivered, some stranger just took it away. Don't leave now. Sit here. Whatever the devil steals, the Bible says sevenfold. If we make sure our house is locked, why don't we make sure our heart is locked? Everybody doesn't deserve a key. Everybody doesn't deserve access. Everybody doesn't deserve space in your life. Space in your life is it is valuable. Space in your life is something that you shouldn't. Young ladies, young men, single young ladies, single young men, quit giving a piece of your heart to everybody. You're going to look up and not have anything left to give to the real man or the real woman that God has given you. Guard your heart. Out of your heart, there's a lot of things that flow out and some things that flow in. Guard your heart like we guard our house. Parents, guard your children's heart. They don't know how to guard it. They don't know that what he or what she's saying or those text messages or social media or the friends they're hanging out with, they don't know the ramifications 10 years down the road. Parents, we guard our children's heart. Guard that heart. Spiritual warfare does not mean you're out of the will of God. What a spiritual attack is, write this down. If you're taking notes, take a picture of the wall behind me if you are too lazy or too slow to type. A spiritual attack is a systematic and organized attack to keep someone from pursuing God or to make someone turn away from God. The devil's number one plan is that you never meet Jesus. Then once you meet Jesus, the devil turns his number one plan is that you leave Jesus. A spiritual attack is a systematic and organized attack to keep someone from pursuing the things of God or to make someone reject the things of God. A spiritual attack is a systematic and organized attack to keep someone from fulfilling their God-created purpose. A lot of times when I'm preparing these messages, all this stuff's been rolling over in my spirit, I'll just ask people around me, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what does this mean to you? And I asked Mandy, I said, Mandy, what's a spiritual attack? What would you define that as? And I love what she said. She said, a spiritual attack is designed to do one thing, and that's make you question your faith in God. Anything that makes you question your faith is spiritual. You say, well, no, it's my ex-husband. The spiritual aspect, the enemy's using him to get under your skin. Using situations. And so if you're questioning your faith in God, that's not physical. The symptom might be physical, but the source is a spiritual attack to get you out of God's will, to get you to leave God's hand, to get you to forget God's goodness, to get your focus off of the cross, to get your focus off of faith, to get your heart out of the word, to get your heart out or to get yourself out of the spirit or get the spirit out of you. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, we're talking about spiritual warfare, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here we go. Casting down imagination. The scariest place in San Antonio is not downtown of the 13th floor. The scariest place in San Antonio is the space between your ears. Because we create monsters that just don't exist. We create spirit things, and the spirit, the adversarial spirit, creates things that have not happened. Will not happen. Remember this, most of the things you worry about never come to pass. They were designed to get you out of the will of God, to get you paralyzed, to get you panicked, to casting down imaginations, that's between the ears, and every high thing that exalteth itself against, there it is, against, not in, but against the knowledge of God, that's inward, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So now we're talking about spiritual warfare when you are oppressed and when you are possessed. Here we go. Obedience does not happen without faith. And it says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. So when the enemy attacks us, comes at us, is resting on us, or is coming into us, the only way that we win that battle is to have faith that produces obedience that helps us win that battle. Faith without obedience is just words. Show me your faith without your works is not going to work. It's just tinkering cymbals and clashing cymbals. But when you say you have faith, I know you have faith because you sit here twice a week. You read the word. You stand and pray. You support and give. You've had miracles in your life. That faith gives way to obedience, and obedience helps you win the battle. I have great news for everybody that is in this room today that is losing the battle or has lost the battle. You have not lost the war. It's just a battle. Say, what's the war? Life. Isn't it awesome that no matter how terrible yesterday was, you woke up today with a fresh slate. Mercy is fresh. Grace is sufficient. Come on, I took some L's in 2020. I took some L's in 20. Listen, the Major League Baseball, and some of y'all been calling me out about my false prophecy about the Astros. I meant the World Series, not the championship series. 162 games they play. They don't fret when they lose one. What do they say? You've heard it. On to the next one. We're going to regroup. We're going to re-strategize. We're going to execute better the next time. Can I encourage you, if you have breath in your lungs today, God is not through with you. You might have lost that battle. You learned something. We don't lose, we learn. We learn what didn't work. We learn what didn't happen. We learn how not to act. We learn that this is a way that it does not happen. Failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. I don't want to keep going with F words. I'll get in trouble. Failure is not fatal. You failed. You're not a failure. You lost. You're not a loser. God gave his life so that you and I could have resurrection power and resurrection life every single day, every single moment. Well, Pastor, it's been a tough October. November on its way. Well, it's been a tough 2021. 2022 is on its way. Well, my last marriage didn't work. Well, God's got a new person in front of you. Get prayed up. Get right with God. God's going to take care of you. Well, my last business failed. Well, your next business is going to work. Well, I just lost my... There's a better job ahead of you. You don't lose, you learn. You lost the battle, but there's life to live. There's life in front of us. Mario said this last week at Catalyst. He said, whatever you obey becomes your leader. Wow. Whatever you obey becomes your leader. What does that mean? When you obey the Spirit, you become led by the Spirit. Whatever Spirit you obey, you follow. The Bible says to quench not the Holy Spirit. Again, when you reverse that, by quenching the Holy Spirit, you let loose the adversarial spirit, and the spiritual attack starts, all because you obeyed the wrong thing. You said yes to the wrong God, little g. You said yes to the wrong thing in front of you. You said yes, and it opened the door a crack. You said yes, you give him an inch, he takes a mile. You said yes on a Monday, and you didn't know how quick your life was going to unravel out of control, all because you obeyed and said yes to the wrong thing. That is why David, I believe, would say, seven times a day do I praise God. Why? He said, I can't trust myself more than 3.5 hours. Me by myself, we know what he did by himself. He became a peeping Tom that led to adultery, that led to premeditated murder and a cover-up story that would make Dateline 2020 excited to cover. All because he gave place. And when he gave place, boom, the enemy came in. But can I tell you, if you are one yes away from the adversarial spirit reigning in your life, you are one yes away from the Holy Spirit of God reigning supreme in your life. I'm here to encourage some believers that you've been living under condemnation this year. You've been condemning yourself and you've been allowing the devil to tell you that you are worthless and because of what you've done and who you were, that God can't use you, that God can't bless you, that God can't work in your life. I am here to tell you the devil is a liar. He's the father of all liars. He came straight from the pit of hell to try to drag you, your destiny, your family back to that place. But I do want to encourage you. One yes to Jesus tonight. Oh, it feels good. After 8 weeks, I finally got my stomping foot back. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what has been said about you. God is still saying, I can use you. I can deliver you. I can set you free. And there is still room for you to move. Whatever you speak, whatever spirit you obey, you follow. Closing with this. The only question that remains is, what spirit are we obeying? Because that is the spirit that is leading. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not a thought. Fear is a spirit. Fear is spirit. He said, I didn't give you that spirit, but of one of power, love, and a sound mind. I use this to represent every demonic spirit. If fear is a spirit, some of us have become way too comfortable with the adversarial spirit. Some of us, fear has become a way of life. Depression has become a way of life. Anxiety has become a way of life. Self-worth and looking at yourself outside of the prism of Jesus Christ has become a way of life. You should be shocked that you don't feel 100%. You should be shocked that you're not walking in 100% victory when the glory of God has been dispensed on our generation, on this church, and on every believer. We should be shocked when the spirit of the adversary shows up, but the spirit of God does not drive it out. We should be shocked, but the fact is we're not shocked because we're comfortable. We literally embrace it. I know people that love drama so much that if there's no drama, they'll create drama. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. There are some people that are so addicted to craziness that when peace shows up, you force it out so that you have something to cry about, whine about, complain about, but most importantly, if you keep that thing there, you are now not responsible for how you live, how you act, and the fact that you are living below where God has called you to live. You are responsible for what comes in your life and out of your life. And I'm here to tell you, say yes to God and put fear in its place and every adversarial antichrist spirit in its place. You cannot live here. You cannot reside here. This is not your home. Devil, you must go in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. I don't know. I hate to do it. I don't hate to do it because it's my job as a shepherd to call out wolves, right? Some of us are scared too easy. Some of us live with that fear. Somebody in here, you're used to being broke. It's how you live. You know, God doesn't want you running to the bank on Friday to cover Wednesday and Thursday's checks. That's not how He wants you to live. Woman of God, you're not supposed to be being thrown around your apartment at night because your husband, baby daddy, boyfriend had a bad day, or he's not happy with his life and he's dealing with demonic spirits and he takes it out on you. You say, should I leave him? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I'd rather you be in a shelter or at your mother's house.
your brother's house, your Aunt Nene's house. You've got too comfortable with bruises on your body. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Don't let somebody treat your temple that way. You become comfortable. Become comfortable with pornography. It's just a way of life. Well, I'm married. I'm not hurting anybody. Oh, you're hurting everybody. You're starting something in you and your family. You're bringing that spirit into your home. That spirit of lust, that spirit that tears marriages apart, families apart. Gotten too comfortable with it. Well, it's just what I do. Too comfortable with the cigarettes. And I hate to say it, y'all think y'all are real smooth drowning yourself with Armani Co. before you walk in the building. Stevie Wonder, myself, and Ray Charles, we can all smell you. I guess the Stevie Ray and Ray Charles thing doesn't, because their nose works fine. It's just their eyes that don't work. We've become comfortable with a spirit. You say our cigarette's a spirit. It's an addiction. Addiction is a spirit. So I want to encourage you. Let's deal with those spirits today. Some of you have been oppressed. We're going to get to that next week. Some of you might even be possessed. And I've always been taught, because Bishop tells a story, don't stir up devils you can't cast out. I'll cast them out. I'll cast them out. You got a spirit on you? Right here. I want to meet you. I ain't scared. Why? Because it's not my power. It's not up to me. It's up to the power of Jesus Christ that flows in us. Our team's not scared. And we're not going to beg with the enemy. We're going to tell the enemy exactly what to do. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that say, Pastor, I am under a spiritual attack. Now listen, I said all that. By you coming to this altar doesn't mean you're possessed. We're going to get to that next week. A believer can't be possessed.